All right, you started, the classes started then in the Hebrew Institute.
Yes.
And let's go on from there. You had nine children.
Yes, we had nine children with a combination kindergarten and first grade. From there we progressed to a kindergarten first and second, and a third, fourth. While at the Institute, we got up to about 130, 140 children eventually. It was very hard at that time because we couldn't get funding from Federation because they were tied up with other projects, and they were very well start juggling their funds around for whatever reason. There's a lot of different thoughts on that, but we did very well. We were awarded admission to the Mid-Atlantic States as certification, and for those in education, there's only, I think, about three schools in the city that got that certification: Winchester, Thurston, one in Fox Chapel. It's very hard to get. We were doing a very good job.
Do you know when that happened?
About our fifth year. There is no Jewish school in this city that is certified in Mid-Atlantic States, with the exception of...
This is for private schools.
Private schools. You have to go through a very hard... each year they send in inspectors and check your curriculums. It's easy to get certified as a private school, per se. Certification for that, all you have to do is register with the state. If you want a Mid-Atlantic certification, you have to go through a whole curricula study, and it really is very, very hard.
Would you repeat the date that you did get that certification?
Well, about 15 years ago.
And from there?
Well, now you're getting into politics.
Well, we're interested in politics.
Oh, you won't. I don't think you want to put that on that recorder.
Well, we'll put anything you want to put in. If you don't want us to, then
it doesn't matter to me. The politics of the situation were that, and we went around to the rabbis to help push this.
All rabbis, or just
the about all. The only ones who really got behind us were the ones for the Reformed Shul one did that, Rabbi Jacobs and his co-rabbis. Most of the other rabbis said, we won't fight it, but we won't go out of our way to help you either, because...
Did that include the conservative rabbis?
That includes everybody. In fact, the rabbi that used to be on Wolfgang Avenue told us point blank, I don't believe in private schools. I won't say anything against, I won't support it. Alright? And you've got to remember that there was a little bitterness here too, because the rabbis tried putting together a school maybe 5 or 8 years before.
Conservative rabbis?
Yeah, fell flat on its face because everybody wanted to be the big boss. Everybody wanted to be the head cheese. So it didn't work out. Then the group from the Beth Sholem figured they wanted a Solomon Schechter school. Hey, there's nothing wrong with the school, so they started up and they had the push from Beth Sholem. But it really didn't. They went out to Mount Lebanon to some place. They weren't getting the kids for it. We were hands above everybody else. And politics of the situation was that they wanted to merge with us. I personally and the people on our board were not against the merge. Probably be good for the Jewish community because you've got duplications. One of the worst things we see about Jewish education in the city of Pittsburgh is duplication. Every synagogue wants their own Hebrew school because they want to fit into their congregation. Instead of having a central board of education where you provide teachers and then send them back to the synagogues, they don't have it. So education, even Hebrew education in the city, is costing you four times as much.
Did you merge with the Solomon Schechter?
Well, I'll get to that now. We had a meeting with them at Harriet Crewman's house. And their proposition was that we should hand them the school and walk out the door. But you can know what we thought of that. And went on for another few years. And then Federation started coming into the picture a little more because at that time they were trying to distribute monies around to various synagogues for education. They had created a teacher's training center. And then they did put them together.
You know when that happened?
No. About 9 years ago. And now the school has over 300 children. They have a beautiful building of St. Philomena's.
From the Hebrew Institute.
Yes.
Did they come directly to this new building, or did they have some other move?
No, they came from Hebrew Institute building here. You've got to remember that Hebrew Institute ceased to exist about 8 years ago also because of what Federation was jockeying around. I believe one of the Orthodox schools got the Institute building.
Now?
Yes. And they got certain funds to help build this. They raised funds in the community. Gorgeous facility they have there today.
At
Forbes and Beechwood.
The Hebrew Institute you're talking about.
No, I'm talking about Community
Day. Oh, you're talking
Day
about
School.
Community Day.
Community
okay.
Day School.
And the Community Day, tell us more about that, the building and the transition.
Well, there were so many children that wanted that type of education, that school just grew by leaps and bounds. You've got over 300 children there. Now, the Institute building couldn't ever sustain that.
And what grade level is it in?
Sixth grade. Here they have gymnasiums, they have large classrooms. One of the main things that we pushed in the development of that school was that they would have small classes. You've got to remember, you're teaching people Hebrew not as a language, but as a way of life. Teaching a language, you can have it in a classroom for 1 hour a day or whatever, but when you're teaching a way of life and you integrate it into an anglicized school where you have to teach what goes on in America and you're required by law to have certain classes, you know, you just, it's much harder. It's much harder than having a private school like Winchester Thurston. Because sure, they teach language and they teach the educational part, but you're actually trying to get two educations.
You have 300 children in sixth grade level?
Yes, there's over 300.
Including kindergarten and sixth grade.
Yeah, kindergarten to sixth.
And they're all in that building?
Yes.
That's a very large building.
And do you have projections for the future?
Well, these are things that, you know, really they're working on. For the past 3 years, I have not been there. You know, we are at a point that the workforces that put this together, it's time for the new generation. And yes, they have many plans there. But, you know, like any plans, some will go ahead, some will be rejected over time, whether it's because financial considerations, room considerations, things like this.
I'm thinking in terms of higher grade levels. Do they
you
talk about that, or is it just...
That's been discussed for 20 years. You cannot have a... There are certain basic requirements for high schools. Besides gymnasium, swimming pools, baseball courts, you know, now you're getting into... I think the question here is, what is the Jewish community in Pittsburgh willing to get behind? No one person can do that. You're talking chemistry labs, just to furnish one room for chemistry. You're talking an astronomical amount. You could do high school. You could probably have one of the best in this country for Jewish education. You've got the basis for it there.
Where did the children go from community day school?
All over. My son went to Brandeis.
No, but from the sixth grade level.
Oh, okay. Some went to Alderdice. Some went to private schools. I mean, they scattered out. We just didn't have... That further step, that would make it complete. I believe Yeshiva has a high school, but they have to send their children for certain classes outside. They're not set up for chemistry anymore. It's very expensive. Very expensive. And again, it has to do with what type of accreditation they want. See, if you go into a high school, you either have to do it right so these children can get into a good college or not do it. Because what good is taking a child into a high school situation if they can't get into a decent college? Would you send your child to a high school like that? My education is not as good as my son's, but I recognize what is needed. I'm a businessman. See right down to me. And just talking about a high school, it's all talk. It takes a fortune and money to do it right. If you can't do it right, you can't do it.
Are you involved in any other, I think I may have asked you this question, community projects? There is community day school board.
No, I spend most of my time at those two institutions.
Tell us about your neighborhood and when you were growing up politically. Did you feel any anti-Semitism?
In Lawrenceville? In Lawrenceville, you've got to remember that was a Polish-Russian area. You have anti-Semitism wherever you get Polish and Russian together.
Your parents were Polish and Russian background, weren't they?
They were Polish and Russian
Jews. I understand that, but it's interesting that they would have gone into a neighborhood.
Because that's where my father could open a store. You've got to remember...
Did they speak the language?
Of course. My father spoke... Polish and Russian are almost identical.
Mm-hmm.
They're both Slavic.
But I mean, with the neighborhood people, were they...
Oh, sure, they all spoke Russian and Polish. Half of them couldn't speak that English that well, sure. They were all immigrants down there. And being Jewish was not pleasant. When we came to Squirrel Hill, it was much better because there was a lot of Jewish people around. But there was anti-Semitism in Squirrel Hill, too. because I remember when we lived on Pecosset Street, right across the street, there was a house that was sold. And in those years, you could have restrictive covenants. And in the deed of that house, it could never be sold to a Jewish person.
Would you repeat that? What?
The house could not be sold to anybody that was Jewish.
Who made that?
The people that had sold it the first time. And once you bought it with that restrictive covenant, it continued that way.
Is that right? I never heard that.
There's probably a lot of things that...
Well, that's what it's very interesting to learn.
You never traveled through the Sock in the 40s, I'll bet.
No.
Excuse me, did you live on this side? You lived across from
I lived
the
across from that house.
How did you feel the anti-Semitism, other than in the housing? What were things that may have happened to you?
Mostly, yes. Kids that I guess you would say are the most vocal. You know, when it comes to adults, they're much more subtle. But in Lawrenceville, it would be Jid, which is true. And even in Alderdice, when the 65% Jewish, you would hear some of that.
How did you deal with that?
Well, I guess I was nonconformist because I would fight. And sometimes the results were unpleasant for somebody.
When your children were, they were community day school then?
One.
Oh,
the youngest
and,
one.
And the other ones,
they went
did
to,
they feel anti-Semitism, or did you think that improved?
There's anti-Semitism even today. Sure, you know, you'll get a lot of flowery talk, and people can be very nice to you. Listen, I deal in business with mostly Gentiles. All right? And they will be very nice, but you never know what goes on in their minds. And I'm sure that there may be people who you may be disliked, and you can still say hello and talk to them.
You deal with it.
You deal with it.
How do you view your successes? You have built yourself up and you have a nice business. How do you feel about that?
The business or the anti-Semitism?
The success, your success in
that. Well, I never count that. I don't think I'm any different than I was when I was 20. Money is not something that turns me on. Basically, this business was always like a monopoly game more than anything else. Doesn't matter that I can buy a suit for $200 or $500. It really doesn't matter.
Do you travel?
Oh, yes. I've been all over Europe, South America. In fact, when my youngest son was 22, I took him on a grand tour of Europe. England, France, Italy, all over.
Yeah, nice. How about health care? Did you have health care as a child, or was that important in your life?
I've always been healthy. I've never had a sick family.
But how did your parents deal with the problem?
Went to the hospital.
Was there a particular place where they would go that would be important?
You didn't have Blue Cross and Blue Shield back in 1930 and 1940. You went to a family doctor, and he looked down your throat and he said you got a cold and gave you cold medicine or told you where to get it. If you were real sick, you went to a hospital, and that was it.
Do you have any hobbies?
Besides this business, which I do consider my main hobby, I'd have to say no, really. I guess my major thing I like to do is travel and to go to beaches. I'm a great swimmer. I love to swim.
Are you a Florida person?
No. Not really.
A snowbird, as they call them?
No. I really can't. I like Florida. I went to Miami Beach High for a season. That's way back when. But it's like a...
Say that again. You went to Miami Beach? You went
To
visit.
Well, I've been there many times, but it's like the ambulance is always running, taking people to the hospital. It's like an old age home down there. And I usually, when I want a nice tropical zone, I go to Mexico or something along those lines. Florida, and I know an awful lot of people down there. In fact, I could get a condo for free to stay there if I wanted.
That's
just dislike the atmosphere of everybody coming down here to die. Well, that's the way I view it.
That's your view, right.
And it seems like they'll be very active up here and running around. They're down here and all they're worried about is the early bird and a golf game. I must have hit a sore spot. And things like that. And what difference does it make? So pay an extra buck for them, you'll go when you want.
Tell us a little bit more about your wife.
Well, my wife is a graduate of the University of Pittsburgh. She's a teacher by trade. She taught, I think, about a year or two after we got married. She's helped me in the business here.
She only taught for 2 years?
About that.
Where did she teach?
I remember she was teaching up on Bronzeville Road. She was an elementary school teacher.
Is that Carrick?
That's right. I think Carrick. That's exactly where she... And,
she worked with you in the business?
Yeah, helped me in the business. And, thank God it progressed.
Is she active in the community?
My wife is not active in organizations.
I think we've just about covered what we need to know today. Now,
No, shut it off.
No, if you have
tell you something off the record.